Hare Krishna, that's wonderful. So, you all are, how many of you are chanting 16 rounds every day? Wow, that's very impressive. And how many of you are still studying? How many of you have completed your studies? How many of you are working? Wonderful. And in spite of your work and all, you are continuing with your spiritual activities, I presume. How many of you are continuing with your spiritual activities in spite of your work? That's very impressive. Very impressive. Like, we in ISKCON very much feel the need of youth involvement. You may not recognize the importance of being young, being youth. You may think it's just a phase of life, I'm just going through it. But when we look at you, then we see that you are the ones who are going to make things happen. All the great things in this world has happened due to the youth involvement. Because when you are young, you are full of vitality. You are full of drive. And you want to achieve something wonderful. Don't you? In this material nature, to make anything happen, you need force. How many of you are naturally, you all have started, most of you are from engineering and science background. So you know that very simple principle, the moment of inertia. In this, say simple words, matter doesn't want to the state that it is in. Like some say, matter is inert. Matter cannot move by itself. Therefore, you need force. Can this harmonium come by on its own over here? Somebody had to carry it. That is the nature of matter. Inert matter cannot function, on its own. It needs force. So in this material nature, things don't happen by itself. It needs force. Force means power. Force means energy. And the youth are full of energy. You are full of energy. And when this energy is properly channelized, then remarkable things happen. Do you think the French Revolution took place by the old people? Who were behind the French Revolution? Who were behind the Russian Revolution? Who were behind the Chinese Revolution? Revolution. Revolution means make things move in a certain direction. Mm. other than the way things are automatically happening and naturally happening. That's the definition of revolution. And, you know, okay, before that I'll ask, what is the purpose of a revolution? What is the purpose of revolution? Huh? Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yeah, it was Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Jagannath took, or you all bathed Jagannath for so long on the day of Snan Jatra that Jagannath became sick. So he is in quarantine. He is recovering, he is recuperating. Jagannath loves to eat. That was one condition that was made when Jagannath was appearing. That his hands will never get dry. Meaning, he would take food and wash his hands. And before his hands get dry, another offering should be made. But now Jagannath has become so sick that he is simply having patya. That means just some, you know, liquid food and fruit juice. He can't even have solid food. Of course, that's Lord Jagannath's pastimes. And Jagannath behaves just like an ordinary person, so that ordinary people can come close to him. They can feel that he is one of them. That is why Jagannath is offering all these facilities to us. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki. So now let's go back. What is the purpose of what happened behind every revolution? What was the purpose of a revolution? The purpose of revolution is better life, better living condition, better lifestyle. People were suffering those days. In France, people were suffering. They were starved. There was such scarcity that they didn't have anything to eat. And at that time in France, there was monarchy. The king, the monarch. They were simply exploiting their citizens, subjects, and didn't have any concern for them. There is a saying, I don't know whether it's really true, but anyway, it actually shows the situation of France at that time. Marie Antoinette, the queen of France at that time, when people were creating this demand, they were shouting, they were gathering in front of the palace and shouting. So Marie Antoinette asked, why are they crying like that? Why are they shouting? And someone reported to her that their they don't have bread to eat. Marie Antoinette's response was, then why don't they eat cake? It took some time to get the joke here. They don't have bread to eat. So she's so far removed from reality. Her response was, oh, they don't have bread to eat, so why don't they eat cake? So that was the situation. People are starving, but the king was not at all concerned. The royal family was not at all concerned. They were just completely absorbed in their very lavish, luxurious lifestyle. All at the cost of these poor citizens. And that's why the revolution took place. A better life. And but materialist, this kind of revolutions that is based on materialistic objectives do not really achieve the ultimate goal or happiness. They got rid of monarchy through the French Revolution. But did the people in France become happy? No. Same thing with Russia. Like they also got rid of the Tsar. They learned from French Revolution. So they decided to get rid of the Tsar. And they came with under the leadership of Lenin, they wanted to establish communism. They thought communism is going to be the solution to the world. But it took them about 60 years and they got rid of communism. They saw communism is not a solution. Because these are all materialistic arrangements. No matter whatever materialistic arrangements we make, we are not going to be happy. It's not going to solve our problems. Because our actual need is spiritual. The happiness that we are hankering for, searching for, that happiness in reality can be achieved only through the spiritual accomplishments. I don't want to get into the details of that. I'll simply ask you all, do you agree with that? That the real solution to the problem of this world cannot be achieved by any material arrangement, but through the spiritual arrangement. Our need is, real need is spiritual. Let us consider what are the real problems in this world. Real problem is not scarcity. Poor people may think that if I get a lot of money, then all my problems will be solved. But we see that in countries where people are extremely rich, people there are miserable. So wealth doesn't actually solve the problems. Rather, wealth creates problem in many cases. So the real problem is death. Isn't that the real problem? Real problem is ignorance. Real problem is misery, suffering. Now let us consider, what are these things? Death. How death can be solved? The problem of death can be solved by achieving immortality. Right? How can ignorance be dispelled? By getting real knowledge. And how misery can be removed? By experiencing joy. So these are the three real problems. And these three problems can automatically be solved when you become situated in our spiritual identity. Death. Who dies? Who dies? Does the self die or the body dies? Yeah, death is to the body. And ignorance is to the body. Misery is to the body. But when you become situated in a spiritual identity, the spirit soul is automatically immortal. Right? You got this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Na jayate. What is the characteristic of spirit soul? Na jayate mriyate bakadachin. The spirit soul is never born, nor does it ever die. Rather, the body is born when the soul accepts a new body. And the body dies when the soul departs from the old body. So if the body is born, body dies. The soul, is soul subjected to birth and death? No. Soul is full of knowledge. And by nature, soul is joyful. So when we become situated in our spiritual identity, then don't we achieve these three things automatically? No more death, all knowledge, and full of joy. Problem solved. So that is the real solution to all the problems, to become situated in a spiritual identity. Spiritual identity means become situated in our real identity. Real identity. What is my real identity? How many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita? Okay, so all of you, I presume all of you are reading Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita, right at the beginning, you got to know your real identity. Real identity is not the body. The real identity is the soul. From Bhagavad Gita, we get to know that this body is just an external covering. Dress is the soul that I really am. So when we become situated in that understanding, then all the problems automatically become solved. May not be solved immediately, but at least theoretically we can understand that this is the solution. And there are so many other things that are automatically achieved when you become situated in a spiritual identity. When we become situated in our spiritual identity, then do we feel like exploiting this material nature for our enjoyment? No. That is the most critical problem. Desire to enjoy this material nature, which is called kaam, lust. It's due to lust we want to enjoy this material nature. And then other things follow. Lust leads to greed. Greed leads to anger. Anger leads to illusion. Illusion leads to bewilderment. Bewilderment leads to loss of intelligence. And loss of intelligence means doomed forever. These are the six things that causes all the problems in this world. Today, in today's world, there is so much animosity. How does animosity develop? Animosity develops out of anger. We become angry and then we want to hurt others, kill others. Greed is another problem. We want to have everything for ourselves. Greed. I need only 4 chapatis at the most, but I want to have tons of grains stored in my warehouse. Why? Greed. We are illusioned, therefore we are thinking that this is the place for enjoyment. That's the illusion. Is this a place for enjoyment, this material nature? Is it a place for enjoyment? No, it's a place for suffering. What is the actual reality? Suffering. Birth is full of suffering. We may not remember that, but birth is causing us so much suffering. Then old age, body becomes afflicted with so many impediments. Disease and death. What to speak of all the sufferings that is happening in course of our life. I love somebody and that person died. Suffering. I acquired a lot of money. Somebody stole that. Suffering. I thought I'll have a brilliant life after I finish my studies. But in reality I see that that's not happening. Suffering. So in this way we can see our life is full of suffering. This place is not a place for enjoyment, but a place for suffering. Now when we consider a place of suffering to be a place of enjoyment, that is the illusion. Illusion means it appears to be in a certain way, but actually it is not. So in this way we can see that the real solution to the problem, to all the problems, is our forgetfulness of our real identity. Who am I in reality? And when you get into the, when we come to, or rather, now that you have come to ISKCON, did you get the answer? What's your real identity? Our real identity is spiritual. We may not have achieved that in reality, but at least theoretically we understood that. Theoretically we understood that. Simple consideration. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us time and time again. When somebody dies, we say he is gone. Now who is that he? The body is lying here, but we are saying he is gone. Doesn't it simply imply that that person was not his body? He was someone else. Who is that somebody else? That's the spirit soul. And that is the reality. All of us, although we are considering this body to be our identity, body to be the self, but actually it is the soul that is our real identity. Therefore it is important that we become situated in our spiritual identity. That's why there is the need for practicing. That's why we ask, so how many rounds you are chanting? Because this is a good part of the practice. Chanting. By chanting, you become situated in your spiritual identity. Are you following the four regulative principles? Yes, it is important to pursue the spiritual goal. Are you reading Prabhupada's books? Yes, it's important, because then you will be reminded constantly, you are not this body, you are not this body, you are not this body. You are a spirit soul. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's books are constantly hammering this in our heads. That's why it's so important to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So I won't go into more details, but I'll ask you a simple question. How many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness? Please raise your hands. Ever since you have accepted Krishna consciousness, did your condition improve or not? Did it improve? Did it get better? No. Now, as you are practicing, is it getting better and better? No. So these are the proof. Now, the simple thing is, if my problems are solved by accepting Krishna consciousness, if your problems are solved by accepting Krishna consciousness, if everybody takes to Krishna consciousness, will there be any problem in this world? That's why implementation of Krishna consciousness is so important. Propagation of Krishna consciousness is so important. Because when you take to Krishna consciousness, then the quality of your life improves and your problems get solved. So if everybody takes to Krishna consciousness, everybody's life will improve. And as I pointed out, like, two things are important in this respect. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead means He is the Supreme Creator, He is the Supreme Controller, He is the Supreme Proprietor, and at the same time, He is our dearmost friend. When you have a friend who is so powerful, won't all your problems be solved by your friend's mercy? If you have any difficulty, you can approach your friend. And a friend in need is a friend indeed. If you go to a friend with some problem and ask for his help, what a real friend will do? He'll respond favorably. A real friend will not say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any money to give you." Or, "I don't have any means to solve your problem." No. Now here we are dealing with somebody who owns everything, who controls everything, who is the proprietor of everything. So when you go and ask him, "Can you please solve my problem?" What will be his response? You can rest assured, his response will be, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." And that is the advantage of surrendering to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, "Okay, from now on, you're my responsibility. You don't have to worry about anything." Total freedom from anxiety, total freedom from suffering, total freedom from deprivation. Now, isn't that what Krishna consciousness is? So once again, I'll request you to raise your hands when I ask you, how many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness real sincerely? Please raise your hand. How many of you think that you should accept Krishna consciousness real sincerely? Okay. Thank you very much. So, okay, now, if you have any question, you can ask. I presume you have a lot of questions. I can see the microphone already started to fire. Yeah, he raised his hand here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Maharaj, when we are working, what does it mean for us to surrender for Krishna? And one more thing, Maya is also very powerful, and the external forces of the world. Sometimes we surrender unto the Lord, we get the bliss. Sometimes we don't surrender, then bhakti itself becomes little tough and seems to be odd way out. But the reason is, I have not surrendered unto Krishna. So how to maintain that consistency in our surrender to the Lord in whatever condition it is in?
Well, you know, there's a two stages, practicing stage and perfected stage. I mean, we have to accept it that perfection won't come overnight. So we have to practice. And while you're practicing, sometimes we do and sometimes we fail to do. Right? But don't give up. Continue. Sometimes we remember, sometimes we forget. Doesn't matter. When you forget, then remember to remember. So that is the way to go ahead. You know, keep on practicing. And perfection will also automatically be there. Surrender. Surrender. Maro bhi, rakho bhi, jo ichha tuhara. Krishna, whether you want to keep me or whether you want to kill me, it's entirely up to you. I'm simply depending upon you. That is the meaning of devotion. Surrender means I'm solely depending upon you. I know you are there. And now that I'm surrendering unto you, I know you will accept me. That confidence must be there. I am surrendering to somebody who knows everything, who is omnipresent, who is omniscient, and on top of everything, he is in my heart. I am surrendering to that person. And that person is the supreme proprietor, supreme creator, supreme controller. So that is the way. We have to do it not just theoretically. But practically, I'm surrendering to you. But that doesn't mean that I surrendered unto you and I'm not going to do anything for myself. No. Krishna says, okay, if you want to surrender, then let me see how you're surrendering. And Krishna is giving the instruction. Jat karosi. Surrender means? What is the meaning of surrender? Surrender doesn't mean to become inactive. But do everything for Krishna. If you're eating, eat for Krishna. You're working, work for Krishna. If you're fighting, like Arjuna, fight for Krishna. If you're sleeping, sleep for Krishna. Right? So do everything. Jat karosi, jadasnasi, jat juhosi, dadasi, jat tapushosi konteya, tat kurusha, madarpana. So that is the formula for surrender. Another way to look at it is, surrender will happen when we become humble. In order to surrender, we have to become humble. An arrogant person will never be able to surrender. So, when I am humble, then only I'll be able to offer myself to Krishna. And when I offer myself to Krishna, then I accept Krishna as my Lord and Master. Why am I surrendering to Krishna? Because He is my Lord and Master. Since I am surrendering myself to Him, I am fully confident that He will protect me. And now that I am surrendered to Krishna, I will accept whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness. And whatever is detrimental, I reject that. So these are the six limbs of surrender. Dainya means humility. Atmanivedan, offering oneself. Goptritya Bharan, accepting Krishna as my Lord and Master. Abhushurokhive Krishna Vishash Palon, to have the implicit faith that Krishna will protect me. Bhakti anukul matra karjero shikar, accepting whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness. And bhakti pratikul karjo barjanam vikar, and to reject whatever is detrimental to Krishna consciousness. Right? Thank you. Yes. What do you do? Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And you're going to join who?
In Bangalore.
In Bangalore. Krishna? That you have already joined. Yeah. Thank you. What's your name?
Harvinder Mishra.
Very good. UP?
Indore.
Oh, is it? So you're my neighbor. Did you ever go to Ujjain?
Yes.
Okay.
Cakes.
Oh yeah. Only cake?
My mother
too. Oh, okay. You can trust your mother. Hare Krishna, Arvind. Lust. Lust means trying to enjoy this world or the objects of this world through my senses. Right? The definition of lust is the desire to gratify your senses. Atmendriya priti bancha tare boli kam. Kam lust. So when you want to exploit this world for enjoyment, then you want to have everything for yourself. Greed. Lust is leading to greed. You want, but you don't get it. Anger. Now, what are all these for? Illusion. And when you get illusion, then you do not know what you are doing or not, you know, become mad. And as a result of that, you lose your intelligence. Your intelligence is the means or faculty to understand what should be done and what should not be done. So when you do not know what to do and what not to do, then what's your life like? Completely lost. Microphone. Okay, I'll repeat it. Go ahead. Yeah. Illusion is the cause, bewilderment is the effect. Right? It is due to illusion that you get bewildered. Cause and effect. Okay, next question. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. So the question is, you spoke of revolution, and yes, people in the society, there is a need for, people think that there is a need for such changes, such revolutions. Now, as a devotee, what should be our approach to that? As a devotee, our approach, seeing, or rather from our own experience, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Like so many people gave their lives for French Revolution. They thought that people in France will be liberated. They will find the real happiness. But so many years after, what do we see? France is in the same condition, if not worse. Like, people are still miserable, people are still suffering. Because, you know, like, as we mentioned earlier, the real solution is not material. The real solution cannot be achieved by material means. The real solution comes from the spiritual understanding. Like, you know, even today people are thinking, there are so many kind of revolutions are taking place, right? Maybe not in such a big way. There was a hippie movement. That was a revolution. They used to call it the counterculture revolution. Where are those hippies today? Only those who joined ISKCON, they became happy. Truly happy. So that's why, you know, like, I emphatically asked you all, how many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness real sincerely? Because there lies the real answer. This is the solution. This is the real solution. Others are coming with promises, but they all eventually fail. Like, look at Bengals, for that matter. The one political party was ruling, Then I think they got a coalition government. Then the communists came in. Naturally, people voted the communists thinking that communists will solve the problem. For 35 years, they ruled over Bengal. What happened? People become totally disappointed with them. Then came one lady. And she came with a lot of promise. Everybody thought, oh, now she's going to solve the problem. And now the same people are saying she is worse than the communists. So this is going to happen in this material nature. You know, people come with a hope. Not only in Bengal, I'm just giving an example. Everywhere it's the same. Everywhere it's the same. In America, when Donald Trump came, people thought, oh, Donald Trump, you know, he is going to really, you know, take America to the height of prosperity. And now they're sick and tired of him. But that guy is so adamant, he said, I'm not going to budge. He is just holding on to his seat. You know, so this is what's happening all the time. But is that the case with us? One thing I can tell you, that I joined ISKCON about 43 years ago. And it never occurred to me that ISKCON, by joining ISKCON, I made a mistake. And as you continue in ISKCON, you'll see that with the passing of time, your conviction will become stronger and stronger. So that's the difference. People got tired of communism. Like so many countries, you know, they were just thinking communism is the solution. First it started in Russia, then China took over, then all these other countries took over, then Spain also was trying to, then Cuba and all these countries. Even India had been under grip of communism for so many years. But today, does anybody think that communism is a solution to the world? No. Just a few years they get sick and tired because they see the real feature. But that's not the case with Krishna consciousness. How many years you have joined ISKCON? 1 year. How many months? In this few months or 1 year that you joined, did you ever think of leaving ISKCON? So? Did you ever think that Srila Prabhupada is not the right person who gave the knowledge? The worship of Srila Prabhupada gave? Is not the right thing? No. Did it ever happen to any one of you that you thought that, well, I made a mistake joining ISKCON? I'm sure you wouldn't have come. Had that been the case, you wouldn't have been here today. Right? So that's the difference between Krishna consciousness and all those material arrangements. Does it answer your question? So what's the real revolution? For which revolution you're going to commit yourself? And this, I tell you, it's a joyful revolution. It's a revolution that is achieved by just by chanting and dancing. And that is the thing, you know, like, I mean, that's how you're going to conquer the world. No bloodshed. All the other revolutions took place after so much bloodshed, after so many people's death. But this is a revolution that is achieved just ecstatically, chanting and dancing. And the more you chant and dance, more ecstatic people become. So that's the difference. All right? Any other question? Okay, you can say it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, like I was reading Shri Prabhupada's books like from 2 years it has been. I was reading so many glories of holy name. I read NOD, so I found so many glories of the holy places. Like somewhere, like Mahaprabhu, one who take bath in the Ganga, he get Krishna prem. But after like this time, I doesn't feel anything like this. So how to maintain our faith in all these spiritual sentences and spiritual things, and increase it, Maharaj? Kindly, please.
See, often you must have read also, Prabhupada gave the example of jaundice. You know the disease called jaundice? One natural characteristic of the disease is that sugar candy tastes bitter. Is sugar bitter? But because of the diseased condition, one thinks that one tastes sugar as bitter. To one, sugar tastes bitter. Now the thing is that the cure for jaundice is actually sugar candy. Now it tastes bitter, but you have to take it, because that's the cure. And then, although it tastes bitter, you keep on taking it. And as a result of that, you become cured from jaundice. Then how will the sugar taste to you? Sweet. So similarly, because we are in a diseased condition, chanting the holy name or the process of devotional service appears to be a drudgery. We don't like to do it. We don't have the taste. It tastes bitter. But what to do? Whether we like it or not, because this is the cure. So we have to keep chanting. We have to keep practicing. And when you do that, then you get cured. And you know, when you get cured, then what happens? Rupa Goswami is saying, Tunde tandavini vitanute tundavali labdhaye. Tunde means on my tongue. Tandavini dances this holy name. When this holy name dances on my tongue, then I desire to have many, many tongues, as if one tongue is not enough. And when the holy name enters through my ears, karna krodo karam bini ghatayate karnar budebhas priham. When this holy name enters through my ears, I desire to have millions and millions of ears. So now you see the difference between diseased condition and cured condition. But in order to get cured, we have to take the medicine. So keep taking the medicine. All right, whether you get any result immediately or not, but one thing is for sure, you will get the result. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, apnar charone shashoddho pranam. Bolchi je Gitate ditiyo adhyay jokhon Arjun ekdom bimorsho hoye gechilo je tader guru barger biruddhe astro dharon korte hobe. তার শ্বশুর বর্গের বিরুদ্ধে সব রাজন্য বর্গ, এখন আবার যখন মহাভারতে দেখা যাচ্ছে যে বারবারই যে যুদ্ধটা দর্শন করেছেন, যে যা করছেন ভগবান শ্রীকৃষ্ণই করছেন, এই যে যুদ্ধ পরিচালনা ভগবান একাই সব যুদ্ধ করছে, সেটা পরে গিয়ে আমরা দেখলাম। তা যদি নেক্সট টাইমে যখন এই যে ভগবানের যদি সকলে নিত্যধামে চলে যায়, তাহলে এই যে আমরা বারবার যে অশাশ্বতম এই যে পৃথিবী, দুঃখালয়ম পৃথিবী, এটা তো আসে না। আর আর এই যে বারে বারে আজকের যে পরিস্থিতি, যে মহাভারতের যুদ্ধে যে গুরুবর্গের বিরুদ্ধে অস্ত্র ধারণ করতে গিয়ে অর্জুন দুঃখ পেয়েছেন, আরো কলিযুগের শেষের দিকে যখন মানুষ মানুষকে খাদ্য হিসেবে,
okay, you're taking too long and this question, simple answer will be, tomar shoja answer hobe, mahabharate jawar dorkar nei, bhagavad gita poro, prabhupader tatporjo ta poro,
acha
thik, ha tal tokhon sob kichu clear hoye jabe, thik mahabharate ki boleche seta niye ekhon bichar korar dorkar nei, okay. Let's first get all the questions that are
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, since this question came up, what's the name? What's your name? Who gave this answer? Question. It's a car person. Huh? Okay, since they don't want to identify, let's not get into this question. Again, another one. Same person, I think. A Prashnata Kar. No name. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
My question is, how to get rid of the mentality of fault finding?
Don't find faults. Okay, there is another positive way to do that also. If you are so keen to find faults, then try to find faults with your own self. Hare Krishna. Anyone? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I actually came a little late, but when I entered I heard that you were saying that yad karoshi yad juhoshi. So basically the principle is that whatever we do, we should do it for the Lord. This is the concept. Now my question is just this much, that as a grihastha, how can we do everything for the Lord while in the earning stage? And like we are not actively participating in preaching, like the preaching work, and like how to engage more and more, and
yeah, good question. How can, as a householder, how can I do things with that attitude? Whatever you do, whatever you eat, etc. The way, simple way of doing it is put Krishna in the center. Say for example, you're working. As you're saying, like you're a householder, you have to maintain your family, you have to earn money. So in simple words, you are earning money for your family, maintaining your family. In order to maintain your family, you need a house. In order to maintain your family, you have to have food. Okay. Make your house into a temple of Krishna. Very simple. just put an altar and recognize that this house actually belongs to Krishna. You have to eat whatever you're eating, now you offer it to Krishna. You have to maintain your family. Recognize that your family members are not actually your members. Your family. See that they're Krishna's family. So this way, although you're doing the same thing, going to the same place to work, to earn money, but you're earning the money for Krishna. So whatever you're doing, although you're working in an office or you're running your business, that becomes Krishna conscious activity. Right? Okay. Let's see if they gave the name. Yeah. Aurobindo Gopal Das. Who is Aurobindo Gopal Das? Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. In Srimad Bhagavatam purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, as far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. Can you elaborate on this point from your personal life? This question is not relevant here. What Prabhupada said in Bhagavatam's 5th canto, 8th chapter, verse 9 in the purport. And in one line you are saying and you are asking me to elaborate. You ask this in a Bhagavatam class and bring the 5th canto with you to show me what purport is that and in what context Prabhupada said that. All right? Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, by the mercy of devotees we get a chance to stay in voice, but many times like when devotees are there, so our ego clashes many times like when you join voice. So how can we develop a loving relationship with the devotees?
What's the problem with devotees?
Nah. Initially when we join, we like we are very humble, but as we grow then then the relationship gets strained.
Okay, good point. Good point. Now, whose ego clashes with whose? I mean, you are pointing out your ego clashes with other devotees. That's what you are saying. Well, you know, in a way, we'd say it's like, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You get too familiar. And initially the respect that you had for the devotees, you begin to lose that. You become too familiar with him. And these kind of clashes take place. Anyway, I'll say don't worry about it. Because it'll happen and then it'll become friends again. Right? But when you get rid of your false ego, then there won't be any clashes. All right? It's a clash of false ego. False ego's business is to clash. So now that you're feeling, okay, I'll ask, is it right or wrong? Wrong, very good point. So when you recognize that it's not right, would you continue to do that or we rectify that? Very good. Yeah, so you got the answer. You give the answer to yourself. Thank you. Thank you. Yes?
What is the meaning, I mean, what is the definition of being sincere in Krishna consciousness particularly? Like, sincereness, what is the level of being sincere? What is, for anyone, what is the meaning of being sincere? Means What's the level that you have to achieve?
The word sincere, another word for sincerity is earnestness. Earnest. Doing something wholeheartedly. So that is the meaning of sincerity. Like for example, say when you are taking to Krishna consciousness, do it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. That is the meaning of being sincere. I have accepted it, let me take it up fully. All right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, when we read Ms. Prabhupada books and Ms. Krishna Conscious Philosophy, and many times we read the past times of Prabhupada from Lilamrata also, at that time we become so much inspired that we are getting this wonderful thing, Krishna consciousness. So we must use our each and every second to perfect our lives, because we will not get this chance again. But after some times, again we lose that inspiration. Then how to maintain this inspiration continuously?
Continue to read Srila Prabhupada's books.
Maharaj, many times it happens, we are reading Prabhupada's books. That time, many times we get more inspiration, but many times we reading also, but we are not
Some continue to read. The thing is, you see, I get your point. Like, it is again, going back to the same point. With sincerity or lacking sincerity? When you do something with sincerity, the result will be in a certain way. Like you are saying that you are reading Prabhupada's books, you feel very inspired, very elated. But some other times, you are saying, even when you are reading the books, you don't feel that kind of inspiration. Now when you look at it, you will see, when you are, the second part time that you are reading, that you are talking about, your mind is not completely in the book. Your mind is somewhere else. That is, you are reading it half-heartedly, not wholeheartedly. And it doesn't matter, continue. That's the thing. Sometimes something will be inspiring, sometimes it may not be so inspiring. That is because, we are in a conditioned state. We are in a diseased state. It's a matter of becoming free from the disease. All right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, recently from a lecture we heard that in performance of devotional service, if we are not feeling very enthusiastic, then we must, at least try to be enthusiastic. And in that way, we are able to perform devotional service dutifully. But, this trying to be enthusiastic, I'm getting this confused with that Nectar of Instruction, second verse, Niyamagraha. So what is the correct approach to this?
Trying to be enthusiastic, you have to figure out how to try, right? One way of trying is, you're not feeling so enthusiastic. You go to the Bhagavatam class in the temple. Go to the temple and meet the devotees and speak to them. Even if you don't have that facility to go to a temple. I mean, nowadays things are becoming so easily available. Like you go to YouTube and get so many lectures by so many devotees. Listen to them or listen to the kirtan. So if you these are the ways to try. Right? Like trying means you have to do it in a certain way. Like you are trying to ride a bicycle. You know how to ride a bicycle. Very good. Did you learn it overnight? No. How long did it take? You don't remember how long it took. How many times you fell? Huh? You don't remember so many times. But the thing is, when you fell, did you give up? Or you continue to try? What was the trying? Like you picked up the cycle and tried to, although you fell, you tried to ride that. So that's the meaning of trying. Don't give up. Trying means don't give up. Continue, whether you like it or not. Okay? No name again? Oh, I see. Abhishek Das, PT. PT means what? Who is Abhishek? PT? I see. Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, we all know suicide is offense in Krishna consciousness society. But in case of Chhota Haridas, we see Mahaprabhu not stopping for suicide. Why? Well, suicide is not desirable, but when somebody made a mistake like that, and if he did that, these are rare occasions. Chhota Haridas's example is a rare occasion. And there also you can see, you know what happens? When one commits suicide, one becomes a ghost. Right? And when a person commits suicide as a devotee with a devotional objective, Haridas Thakur became a Gandharva. The difference between a Gandharva and a ghost is the Gandharva is in a favorable situation, whereas a ghost is in an unfavorable situation. Both have subtle body. Both have subtle bodies. Gandharva's body is subtle, ghost's body is also subtle. But the Gandharva situation and the ghost situation is not the same. Ghost is full of desire, but he cannot fulfill that desire. Whereas the Gandharva is happily situated, singing the glory of the Lord. So if you're confident that you can become a Gandharva, then you can commit suicide. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will approve of it. But unless and until you're 100% sure, don't try it. All right? Jogesh Agarwal, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanavad Pranam. Those who follow other religion with full faith, like Quran and Bible, don't they deserve the chance to go back home to Godhead? Or is their religion fake or false? The ultimate consideration is how one is practicing that process. If you go to the essence of Quran and Bible, you'll find that they believe in God. And if they surrender to God, yes, they'll get the benefit. But if one thinks that the purpose of Quran is to kill anybody who doesn't listen to you, then forget about going back to Godhead. Right? And see, therefore you need a teacher. I will say there is no difference between what the Vedas are saying, what is Bible saying, and what Quran is saying in essence. They all are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him, to love Him. Right? Only difference is that their understanding is of a very lower level of understanding. Where the Vedas are giving a very advanced level of understanding. That's the difference. Like for example, when you go to kindergarten, how many books they have? Just one or two books. Then as you make advancement, the number of books keeps on increasing, number of books keep on increasing. Then you are in a, we are doing a PhD research. Then you have the whole library to work from. Right? So that is the difference between Quran and Bible and Vedas. Vedas are a library. Now, a primary school boy goes to library. How will he figure out which book to pick from? He needs a teacher. The teacher says, okay, Encyclopedia Britannica. Take it home and read it. The teacher actually shows what to pick. Only when you're a PhD student, then you know which book to collect from and which book to take the reference from. So that is the difference between Islam and Christianity and Krishna consciousness. And for all the time you need, even a PhD student needs a guide, a teacher. So all your books are there, but to reveal the books you need a teacher. Alright? And in essence there is no difference. So I'll stop now. Thank you.